Welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. We begin with a prayer to the Lord. O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer and Comforter, we enter this holy season of Lent with sorrow and fear, and with awe and wonder. As we consider your suffering and death, make us to see that our sins are the cause of it all, and lead us to genuine sorrow and repentance, and also lead us to see your incredible love for us and marvel at your willing sacrifice, so that we may worship and praise you from our whole heart. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Our first hymn is Go to Dark Gethsemane. Please stand. Our service continues on the bottom of page 2. And we conduct the service in the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are going forth for me, your life to offer. For me, a sinner from my birth, who cause all you suffer. So be it then, my dearest friend, I will follow after weeping. Tears flowing free, your pain to see, watch o'er your sorrows keeping. 'Tis I, Lord Jesus, I confess, who should have borne sin's wages and lost the peace of heavenly bliss through everlasting ages. Instead you go to bear the blow, my punishment to carry. Your death and blood lead me to God, by grace I they may tarry. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who did not hate anything you have created, and forgives the sins of all those who are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain from you, the God of all mercy, full forgiveness for all our sins, through Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We join in confessing our sins. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. As God has given to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and as you have called me to administer the same, even so, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the reading of the Passion History.
History of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the four Gospels, in New King James Version. When Jesus had spoken these words of his high priestly prayer, and when they had sung a hymn, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. They went over the brook Kidron, and they came to a garden named Gethsemane. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter spoke more vehemently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. When he came to the place, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he was withdrawn from the others about a stone's throw. And he began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further, and he knelt down. He fell to the ground on his face, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and ready, but the flesh is weak." He went away again in a second time and prayed, saying the same words. O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. So he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he came to his disciples the third time, and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. Behold, the hour has come. It is at hand. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Now Judas, one of the 12 who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met with his disciples there. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the scribes and elders of the people, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons, swords and clubs. And immediately while Jesus was still speaking, a great multitude came, and one called Judas went before them. Now he who betrayed Jesus had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, Whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Then when he said to them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, Whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him. He went up to him and said to him, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around Jesus saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly Simon Peter, one of those who stood by with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus answered and said, Permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to Peter, Put your sword into the sheath, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? In that hour, Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders who came to him, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. Then the disciples forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith using the second article of the Apostles' Creed along with Luther's explanation to that article. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of Jesus I Will Ponder Now. Please rise for the reading of the sermon text. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this evening, this Ash Wednesday, is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 13 to 15. With the Lord, the Heavenly Father says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had they not been told, them they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us reason to gather together in God's house to hear of Jesus' passion, dear fellow redeemed. The season of Lent is a very special time of year for Christians, because this is the time that we especially focus on the sufferings of our Savior and all that he endured. This was the climax and the perfect completion of Jesus' redemptive work for all the world. May God help us to never look lightly upon this, that Jesus has accomplished for us, what he went through for us, but that we might grow in our appreciation and thankfulness. In order to help us recapture and more fully appreciate what Jesus underwent as our Savior, during our Lenten services, we will be considering what the prophet Isaiah wrote about Jesus' passion. Isaiah had been referred to as the evangelist of the Old Testament. As you read through the Old Testament book of Isaiah, you will see the gospel of Christ repeatedly recorded for you. Even though Isaiah lived 700 years prior to Jesus coming into this world, yet he speaks as if all that Jesus endured for us was accomplished, accomplished fact. And with his vivid and accurate description of Jesus' sufferings and death, it's as if Isaiah was standing at the foot of the cross, witnessing all that Jesus endured for you and for me and for all the world. In our text for this evening, Isaiah presents a striking picture in the way in which people viewed Jesus. First, the great depths of his humiliation, and then later on, the exalted heights of his exaltation. God the Father, who is speaking here in our text, begins by directing our attention to the focal point of these verses, namely Jesus Christ. He refers to Jesus as his servant. Looking ahead to the fulfillment of the servant status of Christ, the Apostle Paul speaks of it in his letter to the Philippians. He says of Jesus, "Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing." Just consider that. Jesus made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Even though Jesus was equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit as the Son of God, he willingly lowered himself to the lowest degree in being a servant. He did this in order to carry out the Heavenly Father's mission for him to redeem the world. In all this, not only did Jesus become the servant of the Heavenly Father, he became our servant and all the sinners of the world. He is the Lord and God over all. And yet he becomes our servant. Truly amazing that he set aside the full use of his divine power, glory, and majesty to become a lowly, humble servant. Now, if the Holy Son of God were to come in all his glory to this world, no man, no woman could stand the sight and live. They'd die. So, he came in a very humble way, in a lowly way, as a Son of Man. So then, instead of causing death, he came to give us life. Jesus humbled himself in order to give us eternal life in heaven. From the humble, lowly manger at his birth, to the accursed tree of the cross, he lived a lowly life of a servant so that we might live and reign with him in heaven. Isn't that amazing? When we go to heaven, we're going to be reigning with Jesus. You and me and all other believers. The great depths of Jesus' life of humiliation culminated with his sufferings and death on the cross. Isaiah writes that just as many were astonished at you, so his visage, his physical appearance, was marred more than any man, in his form more than the sons of men. Passers-by who saw Jesus hanging on the cross would be shocked and appalled in the astonishment that they saw. His appearance and form, he was inhumanly disfigured. His body had been severely beaten, tortured, mutilated by his enemies. And his face was distorted because of the agonizing suffering that he endured in hell in payment for all of our sins. If one had not only realized what was happening here and why, people would have thought, Jesus is the worst kind of criminal. He must have committed the worst kind of crime, that he should be beaten and hung on a cross to be punished. The Heavenly Father, having looked ahead in time to his servant's life of humiliation, said concerning Jesus in verse 13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, wisely." With these words, God the Father reveals that Jesus would successfully accomplish his mission, and it would be successful. His servant's wise and prudent actions are further attested to in Isaiah chapter 41. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law." In every circumstance, in everything that Jesus said or did, he did it perfectly, according to God's law. He did it for you and for me and for everybody else. And then finally, he suffered the punishment, the penalty for our sins, death. Not just simply physical death, but eternal death in hell on the cross. And then at the end he said, "It is finished." The Heavenly Father says, "My son deals prudently, wisely. He will be successful." And so Jesus declared he has succeeded in doing all that was necessary for him to redeem us. He said, "It is finished." And the Heavenly Father, he said concerning Jesus, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm well pleased that with everything that Jesus has done for sinful man's redemption. And then, after Jesus completed his work, God the Father justified the world. That is, he declared the whole world, everybody, forgiven of all their sins through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus' perfect completion of his mission, he did not remain in the depths of humiliation. For God declares in our text, he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Jesus didn't remain in the grave, dead, but raised in glory, exalted and high, sitting on the right hand of God the Father. And Paul testifies of the exaltation of Jesus when he writes in Philippians 2, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in Jesus' state of humiliation, he was made to be the lowest of all the creatures. But in his glorious state of exaltation, he was elevated, exalted above everyone and everything as the Lord of lords and King of kings. The way in which mankind would now be looking upon Jesus and his exalted glory is indeed a striking contrast to the way in which they looked upon him in his state of humiliation. Following along in the text, we see the contrast presented in verses 14 and 15. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Even that there's two extremes. On the one extreme, there were people who were shocked and appalled at the sight of Jesus' deep humiliation. And then on the other extreme, people were filled with silent awe and wonder at Jesus' glorious exaltation. This speechless response to Jesus would not be experienced by one nation or one tribe or one race, but by every nation and race throughout the world. Moses, preaching the word of God to the Jews, said, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as rain, and my speech distills as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. This is what Isaiah was talking about, sprinkling of the nations. He was talking about the spread of the gospel of Christ. And that's what Moses was talking about too when he talks about it by being like raindrops on the tender herbs. The only difference in Isaiah's text is that the word of God would be preached not only to the Jews, but to everybody. And that gospel has certainly been spread both far and wide throughout the world. As Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for the obedience of faith. In today's world, there are millions upon millions of people who don't know or believe in Jesus as the promised Christ and Savior. Many know of the historic Jesus, who lived in Palestine, was a fine prophet, he did everything well, noble man, but then unfortunately the Romans took his life. Most of the people today cannot see beyond the human nature of Jesus. They cannot see the glory of God shining forth in the person of Jesus Christ, whether it be his life, his miracles, his teachings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. For some, it's simply a lack of correct knowledge, while others, it is a matter of blind unbelief, which causes them to reject the simple truths revealed in the gospel. How critical it is for our fellow sinners to come to know Jesus, the glory of God shining forth from him in his blessed gift of salvation. For Peter says of Jesus, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." During this Lenten season and beyond, may the Holy Spirit continue to work mightily in our hearts, enabling us to abide in the faith that embraces the crucified and risen Lord Jesus as our Savior, and to rejoice with joy and thanksgiving for Jesus humbling himself even to the point of death, and for rising victoriously so that we might have life everlasting in heaven. And by the grace and mercies of God, may those who are still living in spiritual darkness be led by the Spirit to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Please stand. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of Glory Be to Jesus. Please stand for prayer. O Heavenly Father, on this Ash Wednesday, we acknowledge our transgressions and our sins are ever before us. The good that we want to do, we do not do, and the evil which we do not want to do is what we do. In thought, word, and deed, we have corrupted what is good. We have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and are unworthy to be called your children. We humbly come before you, trusting in your promise that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We plead the merits of your only begotten Son. For the sake of his innocent suffering and death, pardon us. Wash us in his precious blood from our iniquity and free us from our sin. By your Spirit, lead us to the refreshing grace of our Lord Jesus as to a stream of living water. Restore unto us the comfort of his cross, by which you have reconciled the world to yourself. Dear Lord, for all who seek your mercy and help, the sick and those in pain, the lonely and the weary, the disheartened, the discouraged, and those who are weak in faith, we pray. Supply all their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, and grant them a joyful release from all their trials. Grant unto all assembled here who have brought you the sacrifices of broken spirits and contrite hearts, the fullness of your mercy and the saving knowledge of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What language shall I borrow to thank you, dearest friend, for this your dying sorrow, your pity without end? Oh, make me yours forever, and keep me strong and true. Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for you. My Savior, then, be near me when death is at my door, and let your presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away my anguish by virtue of your own. Lord, be my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of your passion when my last hour draws nigh. My eyes shall then behold you, upon your cross will dwell. My heart will then enfold you, who dies in faith dies well. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. be seated. Good evening.
Good evening.
some announcements. So thank you, Isaac, for reading the Passion History this evening. That's a great help to me since my voice is kind of suffering a little bit. Saturday is another work day in the parsonage. Sunday we have a regular time of worship at 10, choir at 11, church council after the service at 11, and then another opportunity to work on the parsonage. May God in His grace be with you always.